Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Bring a little sunshine indoors with the exciting new arrivals in store or online at harrycurry.com.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. Joe at RTE.ie. All through yesterday's programme, we were getting texts and various messages to tell us about this fire which happened yesterday morning in Granby Row in Dublin. But the miraculous thing about the fire was that a Eurospar truck, it's a massive truck now, you've seen them around the country, they're non-stop and they're brilliant at their job and it's a hard job. But a Eurospar truck had actually pulled up to the front of the building that was on fire so people could jump out onto the roof of the truck, which I'd say about 30 foot high. And a number of lives were saved. Now, the truck driver, it's now been revealed by Eurospar. His name is Tomasz Zaryba. Well done, Tomasz. He's been from Poland here since 1998. And I have a statement from him. I'll read out to you in a few minutes. But one man who was there driving the bus behind was Eamon. Eamon, good afternoon.
Yeah, hi, Joe.
How you doing? It was about, just after 8 o'clock yesterday morning?
Yeah,
what happened?
I pulled up at the stop, the bottom, the stop in Parnell Square West.
Yeah.
And I think a man was behind me then, Thomas, in the truck.
Yeah.
And as I pulled into the stop, I sort of opened the doors, let people on. I just glanced up and just saw, a little bit of smoke, it looked like, just sort of the top of my head, bit of smoke coming from a chimney, you know?
Right.
And I thought, so I didn't pay any attention to it. So I let the people on. And then I turned around again. Your man, Thomas, had gone in front of me. And I'd gone literally, I'd say, from 30 seconds, 25 seconds. It was like an inferno.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. The smoke coming out of that building was unbelievable. Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable.
And at that stage, had anyone, apparently someone had already jumped and might have broken their legs.
Yeah, well, do you know what? Thomas was in front of me,
okay,
and I was going up behind him. But then we didn't realise what was going on. So the two of us sort of veered over to the right because we didn't know what was going on. You know, where the old Max Museum used to be,
away from the away from the flames.
Yeah, yeah,
because it was an inferno. Yeah,
and then we saw someone hanging on from the third floor, by the windowsill. And the smoke was coming out and flames was coming out. And I thought, oh, my God. And then a fella came running round to Tom in the van.
In the truck,
And I asked him, listen, can you reverse back and let him jump down? And to be fair to him, a shot, he was in there.
He reversed right up, flush to the front of the building.
Up on the curb, reversed down. And your man, he didn't jump, Joe, I'll tell you, because I'll tell you, he was on it. 2 seconds later, I'd say he was dead, and he literally landed flat, and I mean flat, on the roof of that truck, not on his legs, flat, absolutely flat.
And how high is that truck? It's the height of a double decker.
Well, I mean, a double decker, 15 foot. So I'd say he's got to be. I'd say he's probably about 12 or 13 foot, maybe now. You know, could be a little bit smaller, you know.
But to hit the ground from where that man was hanging from...
Oh, no, he would have been paralysed or dead, depending on how he felt.
Okay.
And then with the smoke inhalation as well, you know?
Okay, and did he... The man who jumped onto Tomas's truck, the roof of it, did he stand up then, or did he stay lying down, or did he try and get...
Well, after it happened, I'd gone across the lights at the black churches. And I was looking at the back of it down. Now, all I saw him was land on the truck. When he landed on the truck, the emergency turns were coming, so I had to get out of there, you know?
Yeah, good man.
Yeah.
Well, there are photographs of him. Sorry, there are videos of him. I was looking at them last night.
Yeah.
Of him sitting, a man sitting on the roof of the Eurospar truck. So hopefully, he is okay. But as you say, what Tomas did was a lifesaver. This is what Tomas has said. I just thought it would be safer for him to jump on the lorry instead of the footpath. You can say that again, Tomas.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, you can say that again. It's right, Joe. Yeah.
He said, I saw the smoke coming from the window because my next delivery was just around the corner. I saw the flames coming up from the window and one guy was lying on the footpath. He had blood on his face, and I think he might have broken both his legs when he jumped from the building.
Another, I didn't see that, Joe. Yeah.
Another guy was screaming from the window, which is the chap you're talking about.
He
didn't know what he was supposed to do because he had flames behind him and a long drop below him.
I mean, he was hanging on for he was literally hanging on for his life. Yeah. He was literally hanging on for his life, you know.
I reversed the lorry as close as I safely could to the window, and the other lads from the footpath, fair play to them as well, told him to jump onto the roof of the truck.
He was okay.
He was okay, I think. I then asked him how many people were in the building, but he didn't know because he was in shock. I waited in case maybe somebody else would need to jump from the window. Fair play.
Fair play to him, yeah.
Yeah, I waited in case...
That building could have... Anything could have happened to that building,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I waited in case somebody else would need to jump from the window. After a while, I pulled the truck to a safe place and waited for the fire brigade. I remained another 20 minutes because the road was blocked, and then a firefighter came over to me and said... Grand job, buddy. Thanks for that. Wait for this, Eamon. The firefighter said, grand job, buddy. And the DFB are brilliant, as you know. Grand job, buddy. Thanks for that. And what did Tomas do? I went on to finish my deliveries for the day.
Isn't that incredible? There you have it, Joe. Just carry on regardless.
Three people were... Eurostar is the three people were conveyed to St James's Hospital for injuries following this incident. So it was a big.
Well, I mean, do you know what, Joe? I'm amazed that no one, there was no fatalities. I mean, the fire coming out of there was honestly, there were, well, I mean, I had kids in there on the bus, and everyone was just like sitting there in gobsmacked. They've never seen anything like it, especially when you're seeing your man hanging from his. From the third floor, on his fingernails, you know. Oh, it was amazing. Oh, they were terrible. They were terribly amazing, I'd say, you know.
Now, I mentioned yesterday when we were talking about this that it reminded me there was a fire in not too far away, actually, around, go back down Parnell Square, turn right back up Parnell Street towards Dominic Street there, the junction of Dominic Street and Parnell Street. It's now an intro office, INTREO. This was 1972. There was a fire one Friday afternoon, and there was also a rescue attempt using a van. It was a Boland's bread van to get up to the window. But unfortunately, I think eight people perished in that fire.
How tall was the building, Joe?
Oh, the building in Parnell Street was about the same height as the building in...
In fact,
I recalled in my little memory that Jeff Pete... of Pete's of Parnell Street, as it was called. Jeff was on with us before talking about this awful, awful fire because we were contacted by one, I think it was a survivor or a relative of one of the survivors, saying that there was no memorial service for the people who died in the Nyack's fire, and there was no plaque for the people who died in the Nyack's fire. Now, one of the reasons, I just explained this to people at the time, one of the reasons is that there was no one's oversight as such. The Nyack's fire happened in 1972. There was a number of bombings in Dublin in 1972. There was a number, then we had May, almost 2 years later exactly, we had the Dublin bombings of May the 17th, 1974. So there were so many horrors happening around the city at that time that Nyack's unfortunately wasn't properly memorialised. It is now. And one of the people who was instrumental on that day in encouraging a memorial was Jeff Pete himself from Pete's of Parnell Street. Jeff, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
How are you keeping?
A bit rough. Shit. That was the day.
Yeah.
Reese O'Connor, the girl you're talking about is a girl, a lady called Reese O'Connor.
Okay.
And she contacted you from the Netherlands.
Yes, I remember.
To say to you that nothing had ever happened.
Yeah.
And it was always on our minds because the fire happened and it just... was one of those times, 1972, when nothing was done afterwards.
Yeah.
And
And Jeff, can you remind people? Well, first of all, I've tried to explain where Nyack's was, and
well, you said it was on the corner of Dominic Street, but it's not. It's on the corner of King's Inn Street.
Ah,
King's
good
Inn
man.
Street on Parnell Street.
Good man. Okay.
And
okay.
That's where the corner that one is.
And it happened on a Friday afternoon. Will you explain to people what Nyack's? I know there still is a company, but the shop.
Parnell Street has a dual carriageway at the moment, and it didn't have one at the time. So the distance between buildings up with the normal street distance, maybe 30 feet or so. And Nyack's sold plywood, but the main thing that was going on at the time was Formica. People were buying this new product called Formica, which decorated doors and walls and all that sort of stuff. And Nyack's were instrumental in bringing those in from, I don't know where they brought them in, but they brought them in. And there was lots of, it needed adhesive to hold it onto the walls and the doors and all
glue,
like that.
Yeah.
And that's really what accelerated the fire.
Yeah.
The fire happened quite by accident. And
of course, yeah.
I don't want to talk about where the adhesive was or anything of that. That just happened. That it caught hold. And you can you can imagine what temperature that got up to.
Yeah.
And the building just took off. I mean, just within seconds. I was walking down the street with my wife. We were going out to the airport to pick up a customer.
Mm-hmm.
And there was the smoke. And at the back of one of our shops, we had shops across the road in Parnell Street and Chapel Lane. We had ladders because we used to put up TV aerials. Big boy aerials, and that's what they were doing there.
Yeah.
So when the fire happened, I walked about 30 yards, and instead of it being smoke, it was now flames. And people were beginning to run towards the window. Now, if memory serves me right, Nyack's had just carried out renovations and done up the building. And there were these aluminium windows, which at the time were just brand new. But they didn't open. They only opened a couple of inches.
Okay.
Probably for safety, I don't know, but in any case, the fire happened and it got so intense, you couldn't come out the Parnell Street. Like if you had one of the old photographs there, the front of the building was Parnell Street and the side of the building was King's Inn Street. And at the side of the building, there was a big, big sign that said Nyack's for plywood or Nyack's for something. And it was a very big one. And the fire grew so quickly that people couldn't get out of the front of the building. So they went to the side of the building.
Mm-hmm.
And it was on two floors. So the people on the upper floor, let's call it, they got access to the window. They either opened it or broke it, I'm not too sure. And they were on the sign, the big neon sign. They were standing on that. And people had gathered now at this, because remember, Williams and Woods was right beside it on the other side of King's Inn Street, and there was hundreds of people worked in there. And there was a bread van. I'm nearly sure it was a Boland's bread van. Now, I might be wrong on that, but I'm nearly sure. And people manhandled that van up onto the footpath so that people could drop off the sign. And it wasn't a huge, it wasn't a 40-foot or anything like that. It was only maybe a 12-foot or so.
Yeah.
And they dropped from the sign down onto the van, and people took them off. Now, that saved all of those people. But the people who died in the fire were mainly office people. They couldn't get out of the building, Joe.
Because the shop where the fire began was on the ground floor, and that sold all the wood, adhesive, all that carry-on.
Yeah.
That when the fire started there, obviously everyone ran out onto the street, but it immediately took the second floor, and all the office staff were on the second floor.
They fell down. And that's when my brother Harry, and I think me, he saw the people. They were on the ground.
Yeah.
And the flames. And I just... I'm sorry.
No, take your time.
We put... I don't know. We got a coat or some damn thing like that and put it on our head and into the... We went in as far as the shop. With the flames were maybe 2 feet off the ground, and we just... First body I saw was Ivor Nyack.
Yeah.
And he was a big man.
Yeah.
And I just... I don't know, he weighed about 2 ounces when I picked him up, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
I just picked him up and dragged him.
And you saved him.
And then I saw another person. And I don't know who that was. It was a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I just dragged her out. And my brother Harry was doing the same. I don't know how many he got. But after the second one, the building began to collapse down.
Yeah.
Now, my dad's shop was right beside it, and there was, it's funny side, but not a funny side, my dad loved playing classical music, and he down in the basement, in those days, basements were huge, and he used to have little recitals down in the basement, and his records were down there, and a lot of them were destroyed, but a lot of them were saved. So that's just on the side, but after the fire, there was nothing. Nobody came to say how are you or anything.
No counselling.
No counselling. As a matter of fact, I continued on out to the airport afterwards and picked up the customer and brought him back, and was in work the next morning. And so was everyone. I mean, that's the way it was. Mm. It just was like that, you know. So. And for years it lay dormant.
Yeah.
You know, the building was terrible and so on and so on. And at the time, the ILEC Centre, my dad was buying property to build himself a big shop.
Yeah.
But the ILEC Centre was being taught about, and obviously developers had their eyes on spaces and things like that. But so... Many years later, Rita O'Connor contacted you on your live line, and she said whatever. And I kept in touch with Rita afterwards you phoned me up, and you asked about the fire. And as a matter of fact, Rita did a lovely little poem the people in the fire, because she worked there at the time, you know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
She was one of the saved people. And so what we did, we had the new building that's there was just being built. So it was clean, you know, the fire was clean, the surface was clean. And we put a little ad in the paper to invite people to a memorial, just a little, because the Nyacks were Jewish, and most of the people at the time, like, would have been Roman Catholic. Yeah. Well, not them all. Yeah. My dad was a Protestant, so, it just... what happened then was one of the girls that died was Nancy Candon.
Yeah.
And her uncle... was a priest in Dominic Street.
Oh, I remember.
So it was a good connection to sort of say to him, listen, would you do the honour of the prayer, you know, usual.
Memorial, yeah.
And a lot of people came, and quite a few well-known people came. I can't think of his name, but he used to do singing, and he was involved in... I can't think of the name of it. It was the children's show. The children's show. I think of his name. But he...
I think that was Angus McAnally.
Angus wasn't. It's long...
Because I tell you, when did the campaign start to get the plaque?
Well, you see, the plaque... Like, we did... We organised church services.
Yeah.
Both Roman Catholic and Jewish.
Okay.
And all of the people whose children died all of those who died in it, there was one family that we never ever we were never able to contact.
That was unbelievable, wasn't it? I remember
just
that.
One family, the Burkes, Marta de Burke
White. Yeah,
we could never. I was told they emigrated to Canada. This, you see, we started to do the people when we did the service, the first one.
Yeah.
It grew, you know, it grew, and people were asking. And then the following year, on the anniversary, we started to do the church services in Dominic Street, and then we moved around to where the people who, you know,
were from.
Priest, the Father Finnerty. If you look,
Dolores Finnerty,
her uncle is a Father Finnerty out in Sutton, and he was in, where was he? Dunnycarney, at the time.
Okay, and he did it there.
And so, he used to do it, and then we moved across to this, we started, Iris Nyack, at the time, became very involved with myself and the family, the two families, like, you know, we were organising this. And that was it, Joe, and it lasted till the 50th anniversary. And at that stage, a lot of the parents had passed
of course,
on.
Yeah.
There was very few people turning up. You so know
the
what I mean?
Well, I remember the Saturday morning we went in to unveil the plaque. I remember that, and there was a lovely service there. And the plaque reads, in loving memory of Nancy Candon, Mary Cullerton, Dolores Finnerty, Patricia Gore, and remember... Jeff, as you were, that was Patricia was 19. It was her first day in
first
the job.
Day in first day
in the job. Mary Leader, Marie McNally, Jimmy Pryle, who was there was seven women and one man. Jimmy
That's
Pryle,
right.
And then the I think Rita was, and you were saying it at the time, and we put out a shout to see could we find any relatives of Marta de Burgh White, a very unusual name. Marta de Burgh White, but we were unsuccessful. But the plaque went up, and it's at the intro offices there. Where this, and I hope, I know some people, as they're passing those memorials, bless themselves or say a silent little prayer. But
they do.
It was, and then when you, I don't know whether you've seen the photographs of the truck yesterday pulling up and this man jumping
out.
No,
I heard it on the radio, but I didn't see them. But
Jeff.
It's certainly, like yourself, I genuinely mean this, when I heard that they jumped onto the truck, it did remind me of the day. It really did.
And it was only, as you know better than I do, from Granby Row around to Dominic Street is about a 4 or 5 minute walk. I'd have two,
and it's all downhill as well, so you'd be getting quicker.
To look at the truck yesterday, and then to think of Nyack's, and then the other little aspect of Nyack's, which I subsequently discovered because I was at a funeral of a great firefighter there about four years ago, Dennis Gibney, and he is the father of Jenny Gibney, who was in Mrs. Brown's Boys, who was. Cathy and Mrs. Brown's Boys, daughter of Agnes, but in real life, Brandon and Jenny are husband and wife. And I was told that day that Dennis was one of the first firefighters on the scene because there was a fire station. It's now gone. It's a beautiful red brick building. There was a fire station up in Dorset Street.
That's right.
And
some
of the other lads who were at the fire were telling me at the funeral. By the time they got from Dorset Street down to, which would be 3 minutes, 4 minutes, they said it was an inferno, like
inferno.
They'd never seen.
Well, it's as just, I said at the beginning, that's the memory we have. With the, when the adhesive cut holes, there was no stopping it. It just...
Yeah.
It was just unreal. Yeah. But there were other firefighters over the years. If I had time, you know, there was a John McBride. I know he and a Gerard Martin. I just have a few bits of paper here scribbled in front that were scribbled in. But there was a number of firemen came to various ceremonies of it. But
of course,
we kept that up. We kept that up until 2022, and we did about 15, I think. About, and at that stage, the parents had all passed on. But just Joe, just Iris Nyack had trees. Like the plaque in the on the building is fine. You know, that's. But Iris Nyack herself got trees planted in.
Okay.
I don't know where, but certainly in Israel. And she sent in loving, it just said in loving memory of our dear departed friends. And what I have a photograph of her here, but what I noticed was it was the 27th of March, 1972. And then alongside of that, she wrote 12 Nissan 5732. So I presume that's a Jewish.
It is, of course, yeah. For the, you know, for the year that was in it. Stay with us, Jeff. By the way, after that memorial, after you were on with us, after Rita was on, after the plaque went up, RTE did a fantastic TV programme speaking to witnesses. We're memorialising Nyack.
Now, right.
Fran is on the line. Joe with RTE.ie 51551 is the text number, and 0818715815. Fran, good afternoon. You're listening to, we're listening to Eamon Force about this incredible rescue yesterday by Thomas Zariba in Granby Row when he pulled his truck up to a burning building and encouraged people who were trying to escape to jump on, and they did, and were saved by jumping onto the roof of his truck. Fran, what age were you when Nyack's happened?
I was 6 going on 7, Joe.
Wow. And you remember it. What do you remember?
I do. I went to school in Little Strand Street, Joe.
Okay, around the corner. We up the road, yeah.
And if you remember Little Strand Street there, I think there was a little... I think Bob Geldof's father had a little factory across the road from the school there, whatever the case may be. But this was... The way I remember it well was because it was a Friday afternoon and it was a wet day.
Right.
And my mother... I was making my communion.
Okay.
And my mother basically, my mother had said she was going to meet my aunt, which is her sister, and they were going to meet in Ireland, but she was bringing me to the cinema.
Okay.
Right?
Okay. Yeah.
And what happened was she collected me early from school and she brought me up. And I can't think of the name of the street there across. There was a cross street there when you go into Parnell Street from Mary Street. There's a cross street there and there was a little shop. Okay. Right there for years. I think Penny's car park was there for years afterwards. And what happened was, there was a little shop, and we were in the shop, and my mother was getting some sweets and the usual stuff and whatever the case be. And we were standing there, and if you remember the old motorbike policemen,
of course,
the guards, they wore the long coats and whatever. Yeah, yeah. And this policeman ran in the door, and he said to the woman across the counter, he says, "Mrs., I need to use your phone." He says, There's a serious fire around the corner.
Wow.
And she got on the phone, he got on, and he was ringing everyone, and we ran out of the shop, and of course, my mother, being my mother, and whatever, just curiosity went around the corner,
course,
and we just seen the whole thing happening. And I just remember, I'm not going to elaborate on it, because people, I'm aware that people are listening, and whatever the case be, but I do remember, and Jeff will remember this, down across the road, where I think his shop is on that side, on the opposite side tonight, was it?
We had shops on both sides at just at that time.
But if you
go ahead. Sorry.
If you remember, Jeff, there was a laneway down there, and there was a couple of little, like, self businesses and garages and little mechanics around the corner, stuff like that.
Yeah, just to fill you in on that corner, that was Denmark Street.
Yeah,
and the little shop you're talking about was owned by a man called Paddy Bourne. It was a little sweet shop, cigarettes and that. And up the road then was Chapel Lane, and I had a little place there in Chapel Lane as well. I had just left. I had just left my family business, my father's business. My father started on that street in 1934. Okay. And that's a long time.
And
you know?
Fran, so, when you ran round the corner, just when you ran round, could you? I know you're only 6, but did you realise what an inferno was in front of you?
Oh, you just seen the fire in front of you, and I don't want to go into it further.
Yeah,
I can still see it. I can still see it, Joe.
Yeah.
To this day, and Jeff touched on it. The window.
Yeah.
and I won't take it any further from that because.
Okay, well, you heard.
No, don't.
You heard how close and upsetting it still is to Jeff. There's such a trauma, and that's a reminder to people about fire safety to this day.
The fire brigades were up and whatever the case may be, and everyone was held across the street. Yeah. Obviously, there and whatever the case, there was mayhem.
Yeah.
It's just
a reminder.
And Joe, can I just say something? I remember you bringing this up maybe 10, 15 years ago. You were on the and I tried to call that day and I couldn't get through the case be. But it's ironic. You're retiring in a few days' time that you bring this subject up again. It just came to me
yesterday when I saw that truck. I mentioned it on the program yesterday when I saw the truck up against them. I could see on social media somebody jumping off out of the building onto the flat roof. I said it reminded me of the Nyack's fire, which is only around the corner. Now, the tragedy is that 8 people perished and significant people, a number of
people. I think
there
was someone
injured.
From Tipperary as well involved.
We memorialised our names, Nancy Camden, Mary Cullerton, Dolores Finnerty, Patricia Gore, Mary Leader, Mary McNally, Jimmy Pryal, P-R-Y-A-L, unusual name, lovely name, Marta de Burgh, White, and we even today we have to be of the apartment blocks, especially are much higher. I know the Dublin Fire Brigade have now got a 42-meter turntable ladder, but still the key to fire safety is in the building, is the people in the building and sprinkler systems and people knowing how to get out and windows that open so people can get out. But fire safety, Dublin is a much, much busier city. It's a much denser city now in terms of people. And we just have to be so conscious of fire safety. We really have. Stay with us if you can, please. Joe at rte.ie 51551.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Now talking about the Nyack's fire in the centre of Dublin. 27th of March 1972, where 8 people perished. Madge, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
Good. What do you want to say to Jeff, Pete?
I want to thank Jeff. I know Jeff now through his series of events. Jeff sings with the North Dublin Gospel Community Choir, as does my husband, Brendan.
Okay.
And through conversation, Nyack's came up and Brendan said to him about his wife having been in the fire, and Jeff was the man that put the ladder up and saved myself and another girl called Madeline Flynn. And the man that died, we were at his window and the floor collapsed underneath that man. So I am eternally grateful to Jeff, and he does know that. And I don't normally do anything like this, but I just feel very emotional at this moment listening to Jeff. And I really, really, really do thank Jeff for my life. I know, Jeff.
Sorry about this. So.
Jeff, the tears are running down my eyes here too.
We'll see. I'll give you another hug when I meet
you. Yeah. And Madge, you mentioned the man who died was Jimmy Pryal, P-R-Y-A-L.
Yeah, Mr. Pryal. To you, of course. Yeah, Mr. Pryal.
And you were...
I was 18, Joe.
Of course.
Yeah.
And you were at his window escaping.
His office, we used to have... I was on the third floor where that girl, Dolores Finnerty, she was our manager. And she came along our floor to tell us all to evacuate. Now, at that stage, there was no smoke or anything, and we had all little partition offices. And Mr. Pryle's office was next door to my office. I used to work with the accounts.
Okay.
And Mr. Reed was the accountant, and I used to work for him.
Okay.
And that girl, Dolores Finnerty, went up into that top office, and they were not able to break that window on the office. It was like triple glazed or something.
Yeah.
They were trying to break it, and as I said, Mr. Pryle called us into his office, myself and this girl Madeline, and put us up on the window ledge, and the floor collapsed underneath that man.
And Jimmy perished.
Yes, he did. He did, the only man that perished in it.
And Madge, did you know where the fire was coming from? Did you know it started in the shop below?
No, I didn't know that at the time. I only found that out afterwards. but everything was timber inside, all timber partitions, etc., etc. So, yeah, I didn't know till afterwards.
Jill is on the line. Is it Jill?
Hi,
you're listening to Jeff, Pete, and indeed Madge and Fran. You knew. I mentioned. I think that line is dropping on me there. I know Gil mentioned Marta de Bourgh White, and we'll try and get the line back up as soon as we can. But Jeff, you've met Madge since.
Well, you see, I met her husband Brendan in a choir. I'm in a choir, and I never spoke about the Nyack fire to anyone. Not really. My family, maybe. But when the services came around, we inherited a group of about 50 people. You know, they just followed every time it was on. And it was only maybe 12 years ago I met Brendan, and he happened to be mentioning, I can't remember how
came up, yeah.
The he name was, come yeah. up, but and Madge, he said his wife worked in Nyack's. And this, and it's funny thing about it, we have another member in our choir, a fella called Paddy, and he worked in Nyack's at the time as well. Yeah. You know, okay. So
that was a
the
big,
conversation
was a
sort
big
of grew.
It was Nyack's was a big, big company. And
you
mentioned,
huge.
Is it Ivor Nyack? Well, he was a character in Dublin. He was well known in Dublin.
He was a larger than life character.
Yeah. Say
huge
with us. We have Jill back again. Jill.
Hi.
Jill, what your memories, please?
Yeah, no, I was just explaining that I was a very good friend of Martha de Bourgh White.
Oh, okay.
We were friends from about 15 years of age, and her father was very well known. He was a doctor and an anaesthetist consultant in Sir Patrick Dunn's hospital at the time. And they lived in County Dublin, and there were five of them.
Right.
And I think he actually had to identify per Martha, but I do believe that later on her parents, both the parents, Frank and Mary de Bourgh White, passed away. It was probably before that plaque went up.
Yeah.
And her brother, only her brother Andy, emigrated to Canada.
Her only brother.
But Martha was due to leave work on the Thursday.
Yeah.
I had just come back from America after leaving school. I'd been over there for a few months. And I spoke to her about an hour before the fire started because we were going to meet up on the Tuesday, and that was it. But she was up in the very top room with seven women.
She was on
and they couldn't get out.
She was only 21. And Jill, did you say she was due to leave work?
Yeah, on the Thursday. She was leaving on the Thursday.
As in,
it was Monday. It happened on a Monday, the 27th.
But it was she was due to terminate her employment.
Yeah,
yes.
She'd been there. I don't think she'd been there that long.
Yeah, yeah.
And Martha used to do sort of secretarial. It was different days then. I mean, you know, secretarial jobs around the place after she left school. And she, as I say, she was due to leave on the Thursday, so it was just, she had a very, very private funeral. There were only a few of us at it.
Oh, I see, okay.
So I think the family just sort of, they sold up. I think her parents died probably before probably before that plaque went up. Because,
and you were good buddies with Martha.
Oh, since we were about 15, happened.
Tell us a little bit about her. What was her hobbies?
Oh, she was great. She was as wild as a daft as a box of frogs. She was great fun. Those were different days, Joe, back in the late 60s, early 70s. It was all innocent fun. And we used to go to the dancers up at the Merion there in Mount Merion. And,
well, Jill, I'm fascinated by you said you rang her. I'm fascinated by you saying, because there was no mobile phones in those days. So you rang her on the landline
because I had just come back from America, and believe it or not, I was going to head over to meet her for lunch on the Monday, but I couldn't get there. So we arranged to meet on the Tuesday or Wednesday because she was finishing up anyway on the Thursday. I lived about a couple of miles away from where she lived. She lived, I rang her in the head office, like in Parnell's It was Parnell Street, wasn't it?
Yes.
Because my father was a lecturer in Bolton Street, and he'd heard about it.
Yeah.
It was just and in those
Martha,
days.
Little did Martha know when the two of you were bubbling away and yapping.
It was literally within an hour the fire started. And as that other lady said that you were talking to, the inside of the building was all partitioned out. So it was totally different days. It was sad, very sad what happened. But there was one, I don't know who he is, there was one man whose sister died in the fire. And every year he used to put a post in for the immemorium in the Irish Times.
Yeah.
I don't know which man, I'm sure his name was Reed or something. I don't know. But he used to remember them every year on the 27th of March.
Well,
it would have been terrible. You know, seven girls together, all probably quite young. And as that lady said, the floor is collapsing and everything. But there you go.
Jill, do we know where Martha de Bourgh White is buried, isn't
it? Oh, yeah. She's up in the Church of Ireland.
Okay.
She's buried out in Greystones.
Okay.
There's a graveyard up on a hill. I forgot, Red something or other. I can't remember the name. And that's where the burial was after a very short. Oddly enough, she was. The little private service was held in that big church in Fox Rock.
Yeah.
But it was completely private because they were just beyond distraught, as you can imagine.
21 years of age.
Yep. She would have been 20. She would have been 22 in July 31st.
A few months later.
But just when I heard you mention it, nobody could get in touch with her. I was just surprised because, as I say, her father was a doctor in Sir Patrick Dance Hospital, which obviously is no longer here now, but back in the 70s.
Okay.
Joe, I'm sorry for interrupting.
Of course.
Just to qualify, we genuinely tried, before the services started, there was quite a number of years of lapse. Maybe 20 years, you know. So people had moved on and all of that sort of stuff, you know. So at one time I thought she might have been related to Christa Bourgh.
We even went there.
But I got a very well-known guy in Terenure. That's because we were told they were from Terenure.
And remember,
20-odd years later, you know what I mean? It's a long time afterwards.
Yeah.
So information had gone. And we really and truly tried. But we mentioned her every year. We never forgot her.
Yeah. I'm very conscious, Jill, that you're the closest person. That I've spoken to. So condolences to you.
Okay, I think both her parents were probably gone. I'd say they were dead 20 years after. So that's why nobody was able to contact them. And her brother had gone to Canada. She had a sister living here. I don't know if she was gone. She was much older. It's 20 years is a long time. So, you know, people move, and she had two younger brothers. And I actually think I have a funny feeling they may have passed on as well.
Okay.
I don't know if her brother is still alive, but sure.
53 years ago.
When did the plaque went up in the early 90s, didn't it?
It was what year did we put up that plaque, Jeff? It's not too long ago. It was about 15, 20 years ago, I think.
Yeah, well, you see, people would have...
When Rita rang in, that was the spark again to...
Yeah.
Pardon that awful word. That was the impetus to...
And then Jeff generation.
And then Pete, I know, at Parnell Street, were very keen to finance.
But it's funny,
it as
you
well.
Never, I mean, you know, none of us ever forget anybody who knew anybody. You never forget the 27th of March.
Never forget the power and the horror of fire. Never forget power and the horror
of fire. Look at what happened in North Dublin on the Valentine's Day night.
Stardust was 7 years later A number of people at the time, Jeff, as you might remember, a number of people at the time thought there should have been a much longer and stronger and more detailed inquiry into NIACS, and some of the lessons might have been learned before the start. Anyway, I need to give out the numbers. Joe at rt.ie, 51551. Stay with us, 0818 715 815.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Prompted by that incredible rescue yesterday in the centre of of Dublin by a truck driver, Tomas Zariba. He was driving a Eurospar truck. Now, it's a major truck. And there was a fire and a man was hanging by his hands, flames coming through the window from the third floor of a building. And Tomas reversed his truck flush to the front of the building where the fire was raging. And the man jumped onto the roof and saved his life. And then that prompted memories of another fire, but much more tragic consequences, about 10 minutes away in 1972 in Niox, which was a builder, suppliers and shop in Parnell Street at the junction of King's Inn Street. Sadie Deehan. Sadie, good afternoon.
Hello, how are you, Joe?
Good. You were working in Niox.
I worked in Niox, Joe, with Dolores Finnerty. Herself and myself worked in that office. She did wages and she was the supervisor, Joe. I was the purchasing assistant, so I was.
And were you were you there on the day, or what do you remember about
who was there?
No,
just to tell you exactly, quickly, so that I don't take up too much of your time.
You're grand.
Yeah. Well, I was finishing work that day because I left to get married.
Okay.
I was getting married on the 3rd of April.
Right.
And those girls, they were due to come to my wedding on the 3rd of April. So what happened was it was coming up to audit time, and I promised Dolores on the Friday when I was leaving that I'd come in on Monday to give a hand to make sure the books were all up to date for the audit.
Okay.
And I needed the Monday because I'm only girl living in Dublin from Donegal.
Okay.
And I was organising my own wedding, and I wanted to make sure everything was going to plan. Right. And I came home that day to my flat, and I made something to eat, and I just lay down in the bed for a few minutes, fell asleep, and woke up. I was due in that day, Joe. Right. And the man above must have decided for other things that I didn't make it in that day.
Okay.
And that poor girl that started in my place was born.
Patricia Gower.
She was born, Joe. Yeah, she was born. So
but that was her
I'd have known Jim Pryle well. I knew Marie McNally. She was a cousin of John McNally, the singer.
Ah.
Yeah. So, so sad. And Joe, I never knew about that plaque. And I went down to Noyx here in Ballymount to see, could I hear of anything,
It's now the intro offices, the social protection office. It's lovely staff.
I'm going to go down and see it.
Yeah, and say a little prayer or whatever.
Every year I think of them.
And Sadie, I'm hearing now, and we heard it earlier, from Madge, who was saved by Jeff. And she said, Jim Pryle.
That's right.
He got them into his office and he said to them, quickly get out the window. And as he was helping them out the window, and Jeff was on the other side with the ladder rescuing them.
That's right.
Jim, the floor collapsed under Jim. So he died saving the lives of those two women as
well.
That's
right. Yeah. Yeah. There's other girls I knew that got out the window that day.
Joe, if I could just, I definitely didn't handle the ladder. It could have been one of my other brothers.
Okay.
I knew the ladders and I dragged them out of the backyard and so on where we used to store them. But I was in the front of the building. I was, as I explained, I was walking down towards Paddy Bourne's little shop.
Yeah.
And that's when
I'm getting it.
Ask him there, was it true the triple glazing couldn't be broken?
On the third floor.
Because that was my office.
Well, now, that's something you'd want to ask other people.
The man
that was talking to you there, who said he went to Strand Street. I actually went to Strand Street
School as well. Yeah.
But Fran, he said he didn't want to talk about it because the image of people lying against that window was not nice.
No.
It wasn't nice.
Yeah, and that would have been, it would have been me only to that poor girl.
They threw typewriters at it, at the windows to break them, and they could. They wouldn't break. And the
That's
people
what
were,
we heard.
Their hands were on the window, Joe.
That's
terrible.
Right. And there were
five.
I've been holding on to Priscilla for about. She's been waiting patiently. Priscilla Granger. Good afternoon, Priscilla.
Hiya, Joe. How are you?
And your memories are through your mother and father.
Yeah, my late dad, Pat Granger, who sadly passed away in 2007, and my wonderful mother, who's 81, owned the Granby Bar on the corner in the early 80s.
Yeah.
So we have great memories of the square and the unions and all the wonderful people around Dublin 7, Dominic Street, all
very,
around that area.
Very busy
Brilliant
spot.
People.
Very busy spot.
They worked very, very, very hard in that pub, and they used to then, at 12 o'clock at night, Joe, they used to transfer the licence over to the National Ballroom, to the Bamba Hall, and bring in Joe Dolan, Dickie Ross.
Dickie and Red and all the boys.
And I was only 13 at the time.
Yeah.
And I used to have to go over and clean the bottles with a washcloth, because the labels always had to be the front to sell to the customer. But they were great years, Joe. And I just want to thank you and all the crew in Liveline, and also a big shout out to my mum, who's now back home living with us.
She
was in a nursing home.
Great.
And you remember her a couple of years ago, we brought the dogs out to see her, and they hadn't seen her for nearly a year with COVID.
Ah, because yes.
Do you remember
and
that? Well,
and
that,
they were
that's
out,
the same as Anne Granger.
They were outside, the window, the dogs.
Yes. That's who it is.
Will we ever get over COVID, Priscilla, and everything that went on and those?
And you know what?
Years.
Dogs are still alive,
Great.
And I think it's all down to love.
And your mother.
And if we only can give a bit of love, and she's at home now with us, and we love having her home.
That's
but thank you, Joe, and I hope you have a wonderful retirement and enjoy. Enjoy the great years you have ahead. And thanks for all the lovely memories.
And thanks for all the incredible callers like yourself and Jeff and Sadie and the all the other people. Stay with us again. I have another break with Joe at rt.ie 51551 is the text.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
By the way, the man, the hero yesterday, and I hope he will be, we've nominated people before, for the annual Bravery Medal, which is given out by the Ceann Comhairle. Sean O'Farrill was the eminent Ceann Comhairle who presided over the last one where we nominated a man who saved a young child's life a number of years ago, and thankfully the Ceann Comhairle honoured him, and was in Dublin Castle. And I hope Tomás Saríba is honoured for his bravery yesterday. Owen Goodbody. Owen, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
Could you remember Marta de Bourgois?
I don't know. I didn't know her as such, but my father worked with her, her father, in Sir Patrick Dunn's Hospital. They were both anaesthetists in Sir Patrick Dunn's Hospital. So you can imagine it had its own effect on my father.
Yeah.
His work colleague losing a daughter in such tragic circumstances.
And do you remember the time, Owen? Were you conscious of?
I was conscious of it. I was only a young fellow of 19 at the time.
But
I just remember being told how Martha and others were seen at the windows shouting for help, and nobody could get near them to help them.
Heartbreaking.
It was shocking,
Heartbreaking, and I'm very conscious of and I know that part of the city. I know a good bit of the city, but I'm always conscious of apartment blocks. Now I know Dublin Fire Brigade because I've said it to them, and they're brilliant on it. They're brilliant at checking these new apartment blocks to make sure there are means of escape, and that there's no windows or doors barred, or no windows that are unbreakable in terms of one, reaching them, and two, for people to safely get out. Thanks, Owen, for remembering Marta through her family. Anne-Marie O'Connell. Anne-Marie, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You were a receptionist in NIACS that day.
Well, yeah, I was in sales as well,
And what do you remember?
It was 53 years ago, you know.
Yeah, I know.
and I was 22.
Okay.
Yeah, and I can still remember, you know, I used to always think about them on the anniversary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's understandable.
I don't know why you're making... Yeah. It's all coming back to me now, but yeah, it was amazing. It was amazing. I felt the heat on the floor. I was on the first floor. I felt the heat on the floor. So okay. I jumped up on the desk and then I tried to break the window. Yeah. And the guys down below on the street were saying, come on, Emily, jump. They were from the warehouse. Come on, Emily, just jump.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, will you save me, lads? But I went down on my foot, on my back, and I thought, my back's gone.
Yeah.
But I only crushed one vertebrae.
And you jumped, Anne-Marie.
Yeah, I don't know why. I thought, well, I'm not going to stay here at the fire. Yeah. And I could hear other people screaming in the other office. But they were trying to, and they were, I don't know whether, I couldn't see what they were doing because all the place went black. And I knew, I went up to warn them first. I said, this is really serious. I went back down to go down the stairs.
And you...
And I couldn't go down because I couldn't see it. It was all black because with the heat of the Eva stick that fell together. Something like that.
Glue, yeah.
Anyway,
And were you, Anne-Marie, did you know where the fire had started?
I thought it was on the ground floor because the directors had got some extra heating in, like electric heaters. Yeah. And there was a DIY corner there and it had cans of Eva stick or something like that.
Yeah, that was
it knocked over. That started the fire on the ground floor in the sales office. Yeah. So I just knew I had to get out.
And was it obvious within minutes, Anne-Marie, that this was a serious inferno?
Yes. Yeah. But not long back from lunch. And I think, you know, it was about 2 or 3 o'clock or something. And I just remember, this is definitely serious. I'm getting out quick. And I couldn't believe it because they kept saying to me, are you Mary? Are you Martha? What's your name? I think I went to the Mater Hospital because I was all black. I was all full of black and stuff, and my hair was, you know, just look like a white person. I believe I was so black because of the black smoke, you know.
Yeah, and when you hit the ground, Anne-Marie, were you in pain?
Yeah, I was. I thought I thought the guys might have caught me, but I was kind of over jumped them, and I went down on my right foot, my bottom, and then on my back.
Yeah,
and I. Yeah, so I had an injured vertebrae. I think it was L1 because I only just had a back operation recently, and I've injured L2 and L3. So he told me, the specialist told me that the mark is still there on the vertebrae from 53 years ago.
Yeah, and I don't know whether you're familiar, Anne-Marie, the reason why we're talking about the fire. We've spoken about it before, and. There was a campaign, and thankfully a plaque was erected with the names of the 8 people who died. But the reason is...
I went to see the plaque.
Oh, brilliant, brilliant. And yesterday, not too far from where NIAX was, around at the top of Parnell Square, there was another fire, and it was a pretty intense fire. A truck driver bravely pulled his truck right to the front of the fire, the front of the building, and a man jumped from the third floor and his life was saved.
That's amazing.
And that brought up memories for people of the NIAX disaster.
Yeah.
Do you keep in touch with any? I know it's a long time ago, Anne-Marie.
No, I know.
Okay,
no, I moved from Dublin about 5 months later.
Okay.
Because I met somebody in England. I moved then.
Oh, okay.
Because my parents lived in Kerry, so I didn't have anybody to go to. I had my brothers and sisters, but they all had their own families.
Yeah.
So I just went
and,
there.
And how long had you been working there, Anne-Marie?
About 2 years, I think.
I know it was a busy place and there was a big yard out the back, but Nancy Candon, Mary Cullerton, Dolores Finnerty, Patricia Gore, Mary Leader, Marie McNally, Jimmy Pryle and Martha de Bourgh White, would you have known any of them?
Oh, I knew them very well. I didn't know the girl called Leader. What's her first name?
Oh, yeah. Mary Leader. Mary Leader.
Mary Leader. She started work that morning.
Yeah.
And that awful. But I knew Mary Cullerton very well and Martha de Bourgh White. They were my two friends. But I couldn't... and of course, I missed all the funeral because I was in the Mater Hospital.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
and then I lost touch, you know, with people. when I came to England and didn't see people after that.
Yeah.
So, okay. So I still remember. You know, you never forget something like that.
Yeah, of course you don't. Of course you don't.
No.
Okay, Anne-Marie, it's nice to hear from you. And kind regards and condolences. I know, it's, as you say, it's 53 years, but as we can hear today from you and other people, it's a very vivid and upsetting memory.
It's still fresh in your mind.
Of course, given the horror that was involved. Thanks, Anne-Marie, and kind regards.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. Jerry Martin. Jerry, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe. How are you doing?
Good, thanks. Dublin Fire Brigade. You were a firefighter.
I was in my first year in the job, Joe. I started operation on the 13th of December, 1971.
Okay.
Having joined on the 4th of October, 71. And that was my first big fire.
Wow.
And I'll never ever forget what went on that day. Now, I wasn't directly at the fire. I was on the ambulance that day, along with a man, the late, great Mick Willis.
Yeah.
And the two of us were just standing by. The crews that were working in the building, rooting for those that had perished in the building. They put them in blankets and bags and body bags and that. I brought them out.
Good God.
We did run to the city morgue, and we went back a second time and did a second run to the city morgue.
Oh, my God. And the city morgue in those days was down Store Street.
It was down every side of the police station, where the coroner's court is. Yeah.
And just, people get confused, Dublin Fire Brigade run, brilliantly, they run the Dublin Ambulance Service. That's how you were on the ambulance. So you were detailed, you were sent up to Niagara. Did you know, Jerry, when you were heading up, I don't know whether you were in Tara Street or where you were coming from. But
no, we were in Buckingham Street.
But did you know the extent of what was ahead of you?
No, hadn't a clue, Joe. Hadn't a clue.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, it was some shock. I actually was living in a place, 1973, we left our house. It was, all the land was bought over by the corporation as it was then. We lived in a place called Ballycoolan Cross, a mile and a half outside Blanchardstown. And I remember going home on the bus. I didn't have a car.
Going
home on the bus, and when I arrived home, I had to cycle me mile and a half home. And my mother looked at me when I came in the door, and she said to me, "What happened to you?"
Yeah.
I was as white as a ghost, Joe. And there was no news bulletins like there are now.
Yeah, yeah.
And I told her about the fire, and it was only later on that evening we heard about it on the news.
Shocking. You know? Shocking, shocking.
Yeah.
And
I have to mention there's a man there, Jeff Pease.
Yeah, Jeff.
He would remember me. He invited me and another man called John McBride to the last mass that was on in 22. It was out in Sutton, in memory of the people that had died.
Well, well done, yeah.
And myself and John McBride were invited to it.
Jeff, you remember Jerry?
Yeah, I do indeed. I used to mix his name. I had another friend, the same name as Jerry there. And I thought it was him the first time I met him, but it wasn't. In any case, that was Father Finnessy. That was the last mass we did.
That's correct, yeah.
It was 50 years, that was the 50th anniversary of the tragedy. And it was time to, let people just, you mentioned the Stardust, and it's funny, that the choir that Brendan and myself are in, the North Dublin Community Gospel, we do the singing for the Stardust. Whenever the Stardust people are having, we were in the Garden of Remembrance there last year, and it was on the telly, and it was beautiful, absolutely beautiful. Mm. Our choir has done any of the singing. When they needed a choir, they called on us. Because most of us are from Artane and Beaumont and all around there. That's where I live.
Okay.
But you go, Joe. Look.
Okay. Well, Jeff, thanks indeed. And
you're welcome. And sorry for breaking down.
No. We're always trying to fire speed. Get out. Stay out. Get out. Stay out. No running back in for your mobile phone. Get out and stay out. Smoke alarms, carbon monoxide alarms.
Yeah.
And please always check if you're staying
somewhere
foreign or in a hotel or indeed in a strange house. Check how you're going to get out.
If how do you get out, Jeff?
Happens.
Okay.
Jeff, you might...
Joe, could I say something to you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you're retiring on Friday.
I don't know if I'll be able to talk to you on Friday,
but I would like to wish you all the best. I've had many a good chat with you.
Yeah, very good.
We talked about different things.
Yeah.
I did have a thing that I was going to talk to you about. You were talking about it yesterday. I could give you horror stories about it.
Okay, well, remember...
Although I've told my age at 22 when Nyx was on, I'm really telling my age now, but Joe, I still work.
Good man.
I still drive.
Good man,
and it's
Jerry.
A nightmare out there in the roads with these people.
Okay. Well, you mind yourself, mind yourself, Jerry. That's very kind.
By the way, Joe, make sure you have something else to do, that you have an excuse to get out of bed every morning.
You're here. Get out of bed, run around the block 3 times, put the block back under the bed and get back in and have a good sleep. That's a Sil Fox joke. Jeff Pete, I, again, admiration for Jeff and his extended family, including Reedy Pete, the wonderful, wonderful singer, and what they did to remember that awful tragedy. Joe at RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Vinnie Quinn, Vinnie, yesterday morning. Parnell Square, Granby Row, what did you see?
Well, Joe, I was walking into work from home in the morning with the dog about 8 o'clock, about 5 past 8, and coming up by Belvedere College, I could smell smoke and see a bit of smoke, but I thought it was just maybe a bin fire or something. And then our office is Evercam, and it's on the corner of Dorset Street and Granby Row.
I know it, yeah.
And when I came down Dorset Street, I could see it was clearly a much bigger fire, and I ran a bit to make sure it wasn't our office. And when I got there, it was clear then that the building that was a few doors down was on fire. And it was just around then when there was a fella in red, who I don't think has got a mention, in a red hoodie. And he's the guy who stopped the Eurospar truck and directed him. And he directed him back. And fair play to your man, the driver. He didn't flinch. As soon as he pulled in, he saw what was going on and what he was asked to do, and he reversed right back under the window, so your man could jump out.
And it's a big truck to maneuver as well. That was the truck he was
it
in.
Is.
Yeah,
and he had to get the back of it up onto the path. And your man still had a bit to jump, but fairness, then once he jumped down. Then they stabilised him. It got him to lie down flat and stabilised him.
Brilliant.
And then drove the truck up a little bit to get away from the blowing smoke.
He drove him
and
up,
then
yeah,
the fire brigade were there in minutes. Yeah, then the fire brigade were there within minutes, and the guards and the fire brigade and all that. But fair play to your man. The guy who directed him too.
You heard what the firefighter said to Tomás. Came over to him when obviously their first job was to fight the fire, but when that their first job is to make sure everyone is safe. Second job was to fight the fire. They made sure everyone was safe, thanks to Tomás as well. And then they came over to Tomás and said, "Grand job, buddy. Thanks for that." And what did Tomás do, Finny? He went on to finish his deliveries.
Well, more power to him. It probably only hit him when he got home.
No,
he did great. I was watching it back on the cameras on the recordings, and he didn't flinch.
Yeah. Well, I know what I'm going to do the minute I leave the studio. I'm writing to the Count Corla and the Bravery Awards to nominate Tomás, and I hope other people will do the same. Good Amila Mahal, good Finny.